right, it's 4:37, 7 minutes late, sorry, on Tuesday, November 12th. I'd like to call this meeting the personnel committee meeting to order and acknowledge that the public and the press have been duly notified in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. The first order of business is approval of previous meeting's minutes.
One typo that is in the minutes of October 1st. Our HR officer is not DeWitt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we forwarded that to Nicole for her to make those.
Okay, but it was still in our packet.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the packet was distributed earlier, but
okay. So with that changed, then that would be approved.
I guess the motion could be as amended, and we'll make sure that the one that's posted online has the changes.
Is that a motion to approve as amended?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. And that is approval of the regular meeting of October 1st, special meeting of September 23rd at 8:30 a.m., and special meeting of September 23rd at 4:30 p.m., for the record.
Nice.
Any citizens' comments? Crickets?
Oh,
crickets?
Like
it's raining outside. It's
yeah,
raining.
It's rainy and cold.
That's why.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I'll move on to old business. A, consideration of reappointments for the city's boards and commissions.
I'll distribute. This is included in your packets.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked about how this year the committee was going to entertain reappointments to all of the members that are interested in continuing to serve. We talked to all of them. They're all interested in being reappointed and continuing their volunteer service to the city. After January, we will notify the current members of boards and commissions about the personnel's new policy, sort of informal policy of interviewing folks as their terms expire starting in 2020. Right now, you all would be considering four reappointments for ATAX, two for Board of Zoning Appeals, and two for Planning Commission. The Code Board of Appeals, there are two members. One is deceased, and another one no longer lives on the Isle of Palms. That board hasn't met in over 15 years. That board was created years ago to hear variances from the building code. Recently, the International Building Code has since prohibited municipalities from providing variances or exceptions to the building code. And we believe that that is the reason why there is really no need for this group to meet. My recommendation, and this is what other municipalities do, they have the vacancies, they keep, reappointing those that are up for reappointment, and when vacancies occur, they remain vacant until a need arises for the group to meet. Because we haven't had a meeting of that group in over 15 years, it just seems odd. One, we rarely get applications for members, for people interested in serving, and it's always odd to appoint people and tell them, well, this group hasn't met in 15 years, so the likelihood of you meeting is low.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my recommendation for the Code of Board of Appeals. It is unlikely that the group will have to meet anytime soon because of those changes to the International Building Code, since the code already includes the code board of appeals, it's easier to just leave it established rather than eliminating it from the code. And then, if the need arises for whatever reason, then have to reappoint everybody again.
Is there other people still on this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yes.
So these two would be going off. So that would leave two others?
No, these two vacancies.
Okay, but if we don't reappoint or we don't fill these two, are there members still on the
board?
There are
six members.
Okay, that's what I was getting
mm-hmm.
at. So
these
those
are
four
the only
would stay on until
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Correct. These
okay.
two are the only ones.
Don't they move
do those
or
four,
die?
Do those four know that they're on
until
it?
Until they move away or die.
They know.
Okay.
Yeah. They know. When I reached out, these are the two that it so happens that those terms expire this year, and it just so happens that one of them is deceased. Since 2014, I believe that person at one point was reappointed.
Dead?
Yes. Because it used to be that they would be reappointed. And then Philip Smith.
That's why I asked, do they, these people know that they're, are, let's, can we, well, I'm sorry, go on.
And, you know, those.
He didn't know.
Yes, exactly. The others, yeah, we can reach out. Typically, they're reached out when their terms are up.
Right.
And we did that, you know, I did that for these two folks, and I knew that Philip Smith had moved. And right. When I reached out to William, his widow reached out to me. But again, these are two that would have expired this year because, you know, I don't think that it would make any sense to reappoint anybody. Right. So we'll just
notice.
Right.
So the other four, when their term expires, we will not reappoint them.
I think we can look and see where we are. Maybe at that time it may make sense to just eliminate the board altogether. But because it would be an amendment to the code, it would require two readings. That's why I think, for now, we can just leave those vacancies up and kind of, you know, go from there.
Yep. The only question I have, okay, so if the long-term vision is to get rid of this board, that's essentially what we're saying. We're not doing it right now because we don't want to amend the code. Is that what you're suggesting?
Correct. We wouldn't have enough time to make the amendments, the two readings for the code.
Right.
That is certainly something that the city can look in next year.
Yeah, that would
be. We have
be,
more time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not so close to, but basically the election.
Correct.
Is what you're saying. That makes sense to me, the timing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's basically, essentially, there's no need for, there's no opportunity for that board to exist because there's no appeals that could be presented to them.
Correct.
You're saying there's no circumstance in which it would be?
Unless the International Building Code changes again,
okay.
Which is highly unlikely.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
And then for Planning Commission, there are three terms that expire at the end of this year. Philip Pound's term expires. And he, as you all know, is a council member elect. So this vacancy will, there will be a vacancy in the Planning Commission as of January 1st. And obviously dual office holding is illegal. Therefore, he will be off of Planning Commission. And John and I, council member Moy and I discussed sort of the path forward to bring applications to the committee for consideration to fill that vacancy. We will advertise it and garner interest around the community. I've already gotten calls from a few people that are interested in serving. We'll accept applications until December 31st and present those applications to the Personnel Committee in January for consideration and then to schedule interviews to fill that vacancy.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the members of the boards and commissions as presented.
Second it.
Any discussion?
No.
I think that this committee, I think the path we took forward to not produce turnover, that wasn't the goal, but to make sure that we keep people engaged in the right way at the right level, both honoring and recognizing the expertise that we have on the existing boards while also recognizing the expertise we have in the community. I think I'm pretty happy with the outcome that we produced, and I think next year will be a good, interesting test case of the re-interview process, and I think it will serve future councils well. So
just before the vote, procedurally, these appointments, these recommendations will come before full council for their September 3rd meeting. It's a special
December.
December.
You said September.
December 3rd. December 3rd. Those appointments will be presented, and then they're confirmed once the new council member elect, the council members elect, are sworn in, and they'll vote again on them the first Tuesday of January, which will be January 7th.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous? Okay. Old business. B, update on city council orientation and training handbook.
I emailed you all a copy. This one has the appendices and the table of contents. However, we made some changes today, which will change the page numbers. As you have seen, it includes a very high-level breakdown of the... Can you make another copy? So this includes the themes that we have talked about and some additional resources for the group to consider. My goal would be to finalize and present it to the council and council members elect December 3rd for them to have at least a month to go over it and then come prepared with some questions and concerns or comments when we do the orientation in January. I talked to the mayor today about scheduling the orientation and legal briefing with the new council on January 9th, which is a Thursday, 2 days after the swearing in, and before the week of committee meetings. The plan is to have Charlie Barneau, he is our field services officer from MASC, make two presentations, one about Robert's rules and parliamentary procedure, and also a presentation on how to conduct effective meetings for new council. We will also go through this document among staff, and also the city attorney will be providing a sort of a legal briefing on Freedom of Information Act, executive session, conflict of interest, ethics, and also professional and personal liability. Make sure that folks understand, you know, what the role of council members are and what's protected versus, you know, in your role as a council member versus in your role as a community member. That, which I, the document that I distributed today does not include the organizational charts for each department and for the city as a whole. Ron is working on that, making sure that they're all in the same format and they all look consistent, so we'll include that as well. We included the email and tablet policy, the descriptions on the standing committees, and also some pointers on executive session and FOIA.
I think it's great. My only thing that I would, having just looking backwards to four, you know, from, is I would add in here under committee meetings that they, it says they meet every month. I would sort of just put as needed. Just let people know that, you know, like we don't, committees really don't meet in December. I mean, you don't have to put that in there, but there are months that sometimes you don't have to meet. And so you don't have to meet just to have a meeting.
Like, and sometimes make sure you meet three times.
Correct.
Or seven times.
Yeah.
But
did we set a record this year?
We might have.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying. Like,
I agree. I think
yeah,
that's
just
a good point.
Let people know that, yes, sometimes no. Be flexible.
And say they typically meet in.
Right.
I added the schedule that's already been, when you go through the standing committee section, I added the set schedule that
that's
the committees
good.
Had
yeah.
this year, and I think for consistency.
Right, that's good.
I was actually on the fence about maybe moving them to the second week, because sometimes
it's
the first
such
week,
a crunch.
It's hard for some departments to get reports, but they're distributed as they're prepared, and we haven't had an issue, so we'll... I guess my recommendation will be to go through continue having committee meetings the first week, then second week we have sort of a break. We'll prepare for Ways and Means and Council third and fourth
yeah.
week.
And then they'll cover social media.
Yes.
That's always a big, yeah.
And there is the tablet and email. Oh, that's the email and tablet policy. But we do have a social media policy that's included in the employee handbook that we can include.
Right.
They all get a copy.
And they all get a copy.
Right. But just when they go over the
the presentation.
Yeah, that's always a good one.
Mm-hmm. And you are inviting existing current counsel to that orientation?
Oh, yeah. It would be a special counsel for all 9 members.
Mm-hmm. Well, have fun. A good job, though. I think it's great. And I think it should probably be revisited every couple of years. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's a deep dive the first, you know, and then if it's...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I'm glad you said that. And I think probably it needs to be revisited after, in like February or March, because you're going to have 3 members who are completely new to council, and they're going to give great feedback mm-hmm. while it's fresh in their minds. Mm-hmm. And so... Mm-hmm. I would say this is a great, I would agree this is a great first pass. Mm-hmm. It's hard to anticipate questions that we didn't mm-hmm. anticipate.
By one definition. Thing that, and I don't know, I know it's not under Freedom of Information, and I'm not sure how you put it into the committee structure, but I think it has to be clear that the committee form of government means that the committee of 3 meets, discusses, and determines, or whatever, that no member of a committee is authorized to meet privately with anybody who is applying for an RFP or wants information about something else. That goes through you. I think we have had more than one time this year where there have been these secret meetings going on, and under the fact that, well, I couldn't invite anybody else because that would be a FOIA. Well, you shouldn't be doing it either. I mean, no council member should be meeting privately with anybody who's trying to have a project here on the island or buy a house here on the island if they're not the realtor or any of those things. And I don't know how you incorporate that. It's FOIA because the contention is 2 members of the committee can't meet privately with somebody because that's a FOIA mm-hmm. violation. But in my mind, no one member of a committee should be meeting privately. It would be like if we met with the applicants for these boards and commissions individually.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
we didn't do that or wouldn't do that, but it's happening, and it's happening more frequently and not just one person. So I don't know how you address that, if that's just in training, mm-hmm. that you can say that rather than having it in writing. But I think that's something we really need to nip in
right.
the bud.
And you need to really make sure things are funneled
through you. And then you can send it
right.
to whomever needs it.
Everything.
Goes to.
Like,
right.
Yeah. Like you got to get.
Right. So in the training, you might just, you know, somebody might make the statement that if you, as a council member, receive a phone call that's asking for a meeting with you, your response is, call Desiree and she will get you to the person that can answer your questions. That we as council members are not here to answer private mm-hmm. questions.
And we can address that through the legal briefing. We have looked into this in the past. There's really no prohibition in state law or the city code that would prohibit that.
Oh, really?
There are some best practices
okay.
that should be followed just to avoid any perception of impropriety mm-hmm. or favoritism or any, you know, of that sort. And the proper procedure would be to funnel everything through the city administrator. Same thing, any request to a department head of, you know, some needs, that should, you know, just follow
right.
chain of command. But that is certainly something that we can address. And if it is the will of the group that every single thing that needs to be discussed as a committee item goes through the committee. That's certainly a best practice and my recommendation
okay.
just to avoid the perception of any. But in terms of legality, there's
really nothing
that would prohibit a particular member of council from having conversations as long as they're not creating quorum. And they're not negotiating anything and they're not making any decisions or speaking on behalf of city council.
Right.
Because
which is all just, yeah.
Because there's such a gray area
yeah,
there,
yeah, it is.
The recommendation has always been, you know, just, you know, bring it to the committee. That way it's, you know, publicly discussed.
Good idea.
Because you hear, well, I was led to believe that we were on the right track. Well, didn't
right.
come to us or didn't come to the proper committee, so we don't know if you're on the right track
mm-hmm.
or not. So anyway, that was just one concerning thing that's happened, you know, over the last couple of years, and it seems to be growing rather than diminishing. But we've got three new council members, so I'm sure they'll bring a new perspective.
I think it's a good point, though. And it's good to know, like, I didn't know
it was
what the,
I thought, sure, we could go to some place and say, well, you can't do that.
But yeah, I do think it's a really important part of training to say,
this
might not be illegal,
but it is not. To avoid any.
It's in your best interest.
That's why you have three people on a committee,
yeah.
so that this doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Or sort of a best practices
yeah.
type of approach.
We don't need a motion, do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you take some time and take a look at it and let us know.
I thought it was great. I read it.
And,
yeah.
I will now send it to Julia for her to do a one final look through, and hopefully we can get it finalized and distributed in that December meeting so that folks have some time to digest it and come with questions to that orientation day.
All right. Under new business, we don't have any items. Miscellaneous business. Any miscellaneous business?
I think that's a wrap for the personnel committee.
I have a question. and this probably needs to push into January's meeting, but more so just for discussion and input from both of you. I always felt like when I was elected the one time, so not always, I thought it was odd that it was 2 months between election and me taking office. And I believe Mount Pleasant does it the week following.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it felt kind of odd for me to raise it up as someone who wasn't up for re-election this year, but as someone who would potentially be up for re-election, and potentially giving up a seat at the next time around. That's an item I would like to at least consider.
Mm-hmm.
If our residents and citizens have elected these folks to represent them, why would we wait for that? Because decisions might be made by the outgoing
mm-hmm.
incumbents that potentially might have been voted out because
mm-hmm.
they no longer represent the interests of the residents. So I don't think I don't think that's the case this time, and I don't think it was the case significantly last time, but that's, I guess, my thought is, why not make it take effect immediately?
I actually had a conversation with Julia today about that, because I've always found it odd.
You anticipated my miscellaneous business.
Of course I did. Your terms expire December 31st, and they don't take off, the new ones are not sworn in until the first Tuesday of January. That's per the code.
So
this
really
Tuesday,
there.
Yeah, this next first Tuesday, it's January 7th. So we technically have 7 days worth of time where we only have six members
right.
of council.
Six
members of council. So we don't have a full body until the 7th. Talked about Mount Pleasant. They recently changed it. I think it was last year. You can't make any changes to it during an election year, so that's why it wasn't brought up this year
mm-hmm.
for us to discuss. But that and the other thing that I've discussed with the mayor that I'm interested in the committee and the group to talk and maybe make some changes is the plurality. And that way we avoid going into the scenario of having runoff elections. That means the top vote getters
mm-hmm.
would take office, would be elected, rather than having this formula that you need to
right.
meet the threshold. And that is something that Marie always advocated, and for some reason it was never brought up to council, but the mayor is in agreement to look at maybe these two issues coming January.
Okay.
Because we wouldn't be able to make any changes until we were
mm-hmm.
not in an election year.
What are your thoughts? That part of why I wanted to bring it up was to...
I never thought
You're super impartial to this right now, so
yeah.
your opinion is gold.
I I mean, December is such kind of a non, a whole lot doesn't go on here. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like it's really ever been a real problem. I do think that, you know, you have to have enough time for the mayor to create the committees, and he's got to, you know, so whoever gets elected, then he has to sort of,
figure that all out.
I don't know that you would want to do that in a week, you know, like within a week of
being sworn in doesn't require you to be assigned to a committee though.
No, but it's sort of, everything starts.
I understand.
Yeah. Pretty
much. What you're recommending is that in the second week of November, that they, or are you talking?
I'm not making a recommendation per se. I'm saying at some point sooner than the second week of January. I'm not sure what the exact timing is.
Because
I think Mount Pleasant is the week following.
The terms aren't finished until December 31st.
Oh, right.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it would have to change the terms.
The terms
would change.
Mm-hmm. It would have to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it would shorten the terms of current, potentially shorten the terms of current.
Right.
All right. No, it absolutely would, because whenever you stop. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the impact would shorten the terms by a month and a half.
If it's in November, but it could also be in December.
Yeah.
Right. It could be that December meeting when you do the committees or something.
Yeah, so it's the first week in December.
Right. Anyway.
A cynic would say, I'm just trying to end my term early. And probably some other things.
Yeah, I think, I totally get what you're saying. Yeah. I think in the scheme of things, it's never really caused any real
problems.
The only
time it would cause a problem is if something catastrophic happened that first week in January.
Right.
Well,
and even then,
there's a scenario. Yeah. The scenario is, there is, let me put it this way, there's an incredibly divisive issue on the election, and it is overwhelmingly voted down, but the majority of the current council supports it, and they are I'm just trying to throw
a scenario.
And they say, you know what, this is in our personal best interest, we like this, and even though there wasn't support, and you know, we are, you know, outgoing, we're going to go ahead and vote for this and
ramrod it through without the new ones being able to.
And so it's a worst case scenario. I think the types of people who are attracted to serve on small council, there's not really a lot of opportunities to do that type of thing anyway.
But that's
the issue. That it's not the, you know, I think the 7 days of limbo is unlikely to have a major impact.
This is the scenario that I am outgoing versus incoming.
Right. Well.
Who's the best representation of the will of the people?
They both are. They both were elected, so you know, it's just different.
I'd argue more recently, I hear what you're saying,
but some people didn't run again, maybe, or you know.
Right. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is not a good versus evil thing.
No, I'm not trying to make it that. I'm just saying there could be.
It kind of sounds like that.
I see what he's saying in that.
Yeah.
It could happen that way.
It could be, yeah.
You know, a decision is being made for the island.
Right.
At the time of the election, and those that are voted in were voted in because they didn't agree with that.
Right, but who knows if that's really where people, you know, it's usually not a one.
Well, the referendum showed that. They will get really involved.
I know, and here we are again, yeah.
Yeah, they will really get involved if
history
it's something
repeats
they get
itself,
emotionally involved in.
Right. I don't know. So y'all decide.
I don't either.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Well, but in that scenario, if the former council had decided, you know what, we're going to just take out a loan, we're going to forget the bond, we're going to take out a loan because our debt.
It would have been the best thing.
That could have been something that could have been done.
Right. Which I wish it had been, but oh well.
But I guess that's the type of decision where it's like, clearly that was not the will of the people.
Right. And people weren't going to, you know,
I'm just saying that's the scenario that I would like to avoid. In that case, it wasn't necessary because council, you know, that's why they issued a referendum, was because they wanted it to be
there. Right.
So, anywho.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that one.
Yeah, you just would have to figure out the timing. Mm-hmm.
The other thing talking about going forward, is there any discussion about going from 9 to 7?
Yeah.
Council members.
Another good discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had brought that up before. Yeah.
Yeah, that was recently brought up. And again, I think it's something that there may be some council members that want to explore that or have
mm-hmm.
that discussion next year.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you have an election year where
right.
people don't decide to run,
right.
then you have vacancies that
right.
fill.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it could
it's...
be natural
mm-hmm.
in that regard rather than saying, okay, no, this year we're only going to have 2 elections.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing at some point people bring up every so often is, you know, increasing pay for council members a little bit. It's just so nominal. That's been brought up in the past too.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's why people do it, but it's just, you know, one of those.
Well, if it were only 4 meetings a month,
right?
I would say, but
it's
a lot
of time.
How many times did we meet? I mean, it got to where we were here morning, noon, and night for days on end.
It's a part-time job.
That is something I feel like I would feel comfortable bringing up as an outline.
As an outline, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And
yeah.
it's been brought up before, like
yeah.
when Bob
yeah.
Miller
it's
brought
real,
it up,
yeah.
other people brought it up as they were outgoing. And
right.
I do think there is some validity to it. I really do.
But I think with comes accountability also.
Right.
I think, you know, you've got to be...
I'm not saying
come prepared.
A lot.
Yeah.
yeah.
But just...
It'd be interesting to see what other cities of similar commitment level do.
It's
but
we're
I'm not
very
asking
low
city to do that right
most.
Now.
Yeah. No.
Don't
just,
hear me.
Yeah.
Now.
I don't think it's. Anyway, that's the other thing that on this.
Yeah. There, I think, but what's inherent, all of these, there's some pretty good structural
mm-hmm.
government conversations to be had in the upcoming year.
It's going to be interesting to see what the committees look like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be lonely.
John.
And there will be 2 other people.
Yeah.
It'll be like starting all over again.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
That's the only part with having that many brand new people. Except that these guys are really intelligent.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
yeah.
they're going to catch
yeah.
on a lot faster than I did or you did. I mean, we had to kind of reread it.
A learning curve.
Yeah. These guys are going to have much.
There's still a learning curve no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Any other miscellaneous business?
No.
I do have in terms of the date. We will maintain the, I guess, what the mayor and I discuss is for the sake of consistency and the public, we'll maintain the same set schedule for all committees, which for this group, this committee would be the first
Tuesday
4:30,
which is the day.
But that would be for January, it'll be different because all of them should meet after they're sworn in. So
mm-hmm.
for January alone, we'll have all committee meetings the second week of January.
Okay.
So for personnel, will be the 14th at 4:30.
No.
We might.
Just for fun.
Just for fun.
All right, motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.